Now may we read this psalm, the Psalm 84. The Psalm 84. I do want to thank all those who have entertained me so lovingly during these days. I've enjoyed my own company in the Rickett home and got a lot of work done. But I do want to thank those who have taken me out for meals. And there's no family like the Lord's family. We are bound together by ties that are strong and tender and eternal. Far better than the ties of the flesh are the ties of the spirit. We're a wonderful family, redeemed by grace. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And would you kindly attend to the following, to verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Now pilgrimage to an appointed shrine seems to be essential to most religions. In the Old Testament days, the males of Israel were required to go up to the house of God for convocation 3 times a year, that at the great altar in Jerusalem they might make sacrifice in God's appointed way, which of course was a symbol of that great sacrifice which was to come at Calvary. And borrowing from Israel, all man-made religions have done the same thing. That is, they have appointed a place, a shrine, a place of pilgrimage to which they are to go. So the Hindus in India go to the Jagannath temple or to the river Ganges. The Sikhs of Pakistan go to, as you have seen on the news recently, go to the Golden Temple in Amritsar, in the Punjab. And the Muslims, of course, they go to the city of Mecca. And even in England, even to this day, there are Church of England people who feel it incumbent upon them to go to Canterbury, and especially to the tomb of Thomas à Becket, whose history you may not be familiar with. But not thus does God deal with his people in this age of grace. We are not appointed to go to any place, nor to worship at any shrine. As the Lord said to the woman at the well in Sychar, in John chapter 4, you remember that as the Lord talked to her about living water, that she came under a great conviction. And I think that she cried out, finally, she cried out, this is how I interpret it, Oh, well, where do I go to get cleaned up? You Jews say that we have to go to Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, to the temple there. And we Samaritans say we go to Mount Gerizim, to the temple there. Where have I to go to put things right and to get cleaned up? The Lord said, woman, the hour has come when neither in this mountain nor that. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no appointed place and there is no appointed shrine to which we are to go. There is no place here on earth where faith and the heart cannot be lifted up and commune with God, no matter where we are, in this house, at home, in the street, in the midst of a crowd, on the open moor, on the mountaintop, on the sea, no matter where we are, the heart can be lifted up to commune with God, right there. When I have said that, I have also to say this, that pilgrimage is a feature of our Christian life. That is to say, we are pilgrims, and our citizenship is not here on earth, but in heaven. We do not find our rest here on earth, but we find our rest in heaven after the earthly pilgrimage is finished. And we are a people that are on the march. We sing sometimes. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're a people on the march to the house of God, to a better land and a better country and a better home than ever we have known here below. A people who are pilgrims and who confess that we are strangers among this people and we are pilgrims through their territory. We are a people on the march. And as we look back over our earthly pilgrimage, there are some enchanting spots. I suppose we can all look back and we can remember some red letter days, as we call them, or some high points in our pilgrimage, outstanding days when we had some great dealing with the Lord, or some special relationship one with another or something. We have all those enchanting spots in our pilgrimage. Days that were highlights of our life here below. But as we look back over the past, there are some spots not so enchanting. And as the pilgrims of Old Testament days went up to the house of God in Jerusalem, they had to pass through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of weeping, the veil of tears. And all God's people have had to pass this way. And there are one or two things that I would like to tell you about the valley of Baca. That first of all, it is a valley that's much frequented by the saints of God. Of course, there are some children who are taken by the Lord when they are young, and so they escape the circumstance of the valley of Baca. Some are taken when they are quite young, even babies. Some when they are little children. You see, the Lord is a gardener. This is his undergarden. And some of the flowers are spring flowers. And some are summer flowers. And some are autumn flowers. And some, like myself, are getting winter flowers. We belong to the winter. On in years. But you see that if they are little children, if they are taken, then they escape much of the circumstance of the valley of Baca, the veil of tears. This is a veil of tears. This is a veil of tears. And most of us grow up to adulthood, And we all have to pass through this valley. I remember staying with a lady one time, and she pointed out the cemetery to me. She said, "Do you know, brother, I have walked 9 times to that cemetery to bury children. 9 times. 9 children buried." And there are others who are ravaged by disease, or disappointed in business, or who have domestic troubles, or who have trials of adversity, or who have to meet, of course, the final enemy, death. These are all experiences of life, all experience of life. And this valley of Baca has its perils. It is, for instance, when these strange things happen to us, so often we react, as I was saying the other night, telling you about a schoolmistress up in the north of China who had lost a lover 14 years ago and had built up within her system a shrine. And she told me afterwards, "Brother, I have worshipped at the shrine of a dead lover for 14 years. And so often when these trials come, we can react against God and we say, why does God do this to me? There are perils in the valley. But one of the things you are to remember, my friends, when you are brought into the valley of Baca, is that you are not alone. You are not alone. This is a valley that is much frequented by the people of God. In fact, the Savior himself walked through the valley. Was he not known as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? And you can go through the Old Testament and you can read of Job saying, Job crying out, "Oh, that my grief were weighed. And Jeremiah, thou hast filled me with gall and bitterness and made me drunken with bitterness." You see that all the saints of God pass through this valley. It's a valley much frequented. The second thing to remember about the valley is that it is very unpleasant to flesh and blood. Or we would sooner be on the mountain tops, would we not? We would sooner be on the mountains of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Wouldn't it be better to be on the... Why should we go down into this valley of Baca? Wouldn't the Lord make it pleasant for us in life and keep us on the mountain tops? Well, it takes us down into the valley and we find it very, very unpleasant to flesh and blood. Because there are no refreshing streams in the valley. It's a dry place. The valley of Baca was a very, very dry place. And so often we find ourselves dried up almost, spiritually dried up. As David said, "My soul fainteth as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And so often we feel dried up. There are some saints of God who hardly eat a crust of bread, but it is moistened with their tears. And because it is so, a valley is a very dark place. When we were in China, we worked among the tribal peoples in the far west of China, in the great mountains that tumble down from Tibet. And I remember going over from the Norsu tribe to the Gopu tribe to help them for a year. And my wife and I, we slept on boards with a bit of rice straw. That's where our first child was born. And my wife had a very severe hemorrhage and she was on the boards for 3 months. Those were tough days. But I remember in that place, Xinshao, among the Gopu tribe, there was a big mountain on the east and a big mountain on the west. The sun used to rise about 11:30 and set at 1:30. We saw very little of it. because we're in a valley, a very deep valley. And the valley is a dark place. And also valleys seem to be places where evil spirits have their play. It's when we are in the dark valley of Baca, when we are passing through trials, it's then that Satan fires his fiery darts at us. And when he shoots his arrows to our soul, these are the places where Satan can attack in these deep, dark valleys of life. So the valley of Baca is a place much frequented by the people of God, and it's a place that is very unpleasant to flesh and blood. But let me tell you another thing about the valley of Baca. It is very helpful to the soul. Very helpful to the soul. Does you good. We hardly believe it. We don't like troubles. We don't like trials. But I think when we get to heaven, maybe if we're permitted to look back, we'll thank God for all the trials of life. Because they've done us so much good and we've derived so much benefit from them. What a wonderful thing it is. In ancient Israel, we read that God did not lead his people by way of the Philistines, though that way was near. He led them round about. He took them through a long, long journey, a very difficult journey. But he did it for the preservation of them, because they were carrying in their national womb the Savior, our Redeemer. And so he preserved them. And so often we find that these deep valleys, they are very helpful to the soul. There are far more people perish in prosperity than in adversity. There are far more people benefit from adversity than they do from prosperity. A short time ago, someone wrote to me and said, "Brother, I'm in a very deep, deep hole." And I wrote back and I said, "Brother, thank God for the hole." Because when you're in a deep hole, especially at night time, when you're in a deep hole, you look up. The stars of heaven shine brighter from a deep hole than they do from a mountaintop. Oh, it's good to be in a deep hole sometimes. You remember way back in the book of Genesis, you remember when God first set the rainbow in the sky, and what a beautiful sight of the rainbow is. We all call one another when there's a beautiful rainbow in the sky, we call our friends to come and see. It's always so beautiful and so colorful. But when did God put the rainbow in the sky? You never see the rainbow in the sky on a day like this, when there are blue skies and the sun is spreading its heat down. No, no, it's in the dark and cloudy day that God puts his bow in the sky, in the dark and cloudy day. And it's very, very helpful to the soul, you see. I remember being in the Bahamas. And it was nearly 100 degrees, but I was led into a valley, and there was a breeze coming from the sea through that valley. And I found great refreshment from the heat. You see, that this valley of Baca is a wonderful valley, much frequented by the people of God. Very unpleasant to flesh and blood, but wonderfully helpful to your soul. Great benefit from trials. Great benefit. And when we get to heaven, we'll thank God for them all. He's sovereign Lord. I've come to believe with all my heart that God is sovereign and supreme in the kingdom of his providence. That God rules over everything and portions out what is good for his people, even though it be unpleasant to flesh and blood, good for the soul. Secondly, you see from this, You see, you might ask, well, what are we to do when we're in the valley? What are we to do in the valley of Baca? Well, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, or dig a well is the translation. Dig a well. You know that we hardly believe it, but there is comfort in the valley. The Easterners, especially Eastern shepherds, they were very fond of digging wells for their flock, especially when there was drought. In order to save the lives of the flock, they would dig wells. You remember, Isaac was famous for well digging. He was a great well digger, dug them from Dan to Beersheba. Isaac was a well digger. When the enemies stopped them up, he went to somewhere else and dug another one and watered his flock. And this, we are to believe, my friends, we are to believe that there is comfort in the valley. Though it appear to be a dry and thirsty place, yet there is comfort in the valley. You remember when Hagar was sent away by Abraham and Sarai, Hagar and Ishmael were sent away by them, and they wandered into a wilderness kind of thing, and Hagar put Ishmael under a shrub to die under the shrub. And then she went a stone's throw's journey, that she did not want to see the death of the child, that she might lie down and die too. But the angel of the Lord touched her and showed her a well of water, even in the wilderness. Oh, so often, my friend, so often, when we're in trials, we tend to fling up our arms and say, who can show me any good? My hope is gone. No, it hasn't. Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise him, said the psalmist. And so often, when we're in the valley, we are to remember this, that there is comfort in the valley. Comfort in the valley. And even in the times of our deepest sorrow, in the time of bereavement, when we are cast down and we have to stand in the sands of time, stand still and bury our loved ones. Great trial. But there is comfort. He gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There is comfort in the valley. But another thing to remember is this, that you are to dig for it. You are to dig for it. Who passing through the valley of Baca, dig a well. Well, digging wells is hard work. I remember when I was a little boy, my Scottish parents came over the border, and I remember my father loved his garden, and in time of drought he dug a well about 30 feet deep. And I was a little boy, I had to help, he was down the well digging and I was hauling the stuff up. Hard work. When I was in the Bahamas in the spring of the year, I conducted my first funeral there, and it takes two men almost 2 weeks to dig a grave. Because of the hard coral. My, what a job digging a hole. I don't know what they would do if they had to dig 30 feet deep. It would be a terrible job. It's hard work digging wells. But this is what we are to do when we're in the valley. And do you know, I have come to believe through these years, I've come to believe that a lot of God's people are plunged into depression and despondency and disappointment because they do not exercise themselves when they are in the valley of Baca. The tendency is to give up. No prayer. No Bible reading. No fellowship. You want to give everything up. Instead of that, we are told to exercise ourselves. We are to dig wells. To dig wells. That means exercise. That means hard work. More prayer. More Bible reading. More fellowship. Keep with the saints of God. Dig your wells. Hard work, it may be hard to do, but it's well digging. It's well digging. And the third thing you are to remember is to look around you when you're in the valley of Baca. Look around. You may come across somebody else's well. Remember that if you are passing through the valley of Baca, remember that lots of pilgrims have passed before you got there. Lots of pilgrims passed before you got there. And they dug wells. And if you only look around when you're in the valley, you might find their wells and draw some comfort from them. Oh, what pilgrims have passed through this valley. What pilgrims have wrote tremendous books. What pilgrims have left us wonderful hymns. Eh? These are wells, wells of water that other pilgrims before us went through the valley of Baca, and they dug wells. And you can read what they wrote, and you can sing what they sang. And you can be much comforted. What a wonderful thing. There's comfort in the valley, but you have to dig for it and look around and maybe find somebody else as well. But then a third thing to remember about this is the heavenly supply in the valley of Baca. The rain also filleth the pools. The rain filleth the wells. You see, it isn't something that oozed out of this world. Digging down, digging down, digging down isn't something that oozed out of the world because you dug your well. It's something that comes down from heaven. Something that God gives. He filleth the pools. He filleth the wells. You know, the psalmist said in one place, the horse is prepared for the battle. That's when we prepare the horse. You know, we put the armor on. Or in the olden days, they dressed the horse up for battle. But salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. We prepare the horse for battle, but salvation is of the Lord. So here, we dig the wells, but it's the Lord that fills them. The Lord that fills them. There's a heavenly supply in this deep, dark valley through which we go. A heavenly supply. And let me tell you one or two of the features of it. That first of all, this heavenly supply, it brings new manifestations of the Lord himself. New manifestations of the Lord that you would never have unless you went through the valley. You know, the disciples one time, they were in a boat and they were storm-tossed and frightened. And when the Lord came to them and quieted the winds and hushed the wild winds and quieted the sea, they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" You see, they knew little about him before that. They had a manifestation of himself as sovereign Lord of wind and wave. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, but he fell among thieves. I don't listen to too many preachers. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Hope somebody's going up. I like to listen to somebody for a change. But when I was young and listened to preachers, I never heard one preach on the Good Samaritan, but blamed him for going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now the Bible doesn't say that. He was probably on some legitimate business. And it was good to get the old Jerusalem behind his back anyhow, because there was a dead religious system there. But he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, got a beating up. And he was left half dead. But you know, the Good Samaritan came down that way. The Good Samaritan came down that way and poured in oil and wine into his wounds and cared for him. You see, my friends, these troubles that come to us, this is one of the benefits of the valley, is that it brings new manifestations of the Lord to our lives. I remember preaching in Los Angeles one time, and I was staying with a good lady, and she was driving me home, at least, where I was staying. She was driving me home after the meeting, a friend of mine. And we were driving on a great highway. There were three lanes on each side, you know, three this way and three that way. And I could see half a mile of... Now, I don't criticize anybody's driving, because I haven't a car and I've never driven one. So I just sit there. Don't criticize anybody's driving, because I'm not capable of driving myself. At least I've never driven. And I could see a car about half a mile ahead, by the side of the road. I kept this in view, and I thought, well, good lady will weave out. There's plenty of room. Other two lanes, she'll just weave out. Sorry it was a lady, but it happened to be this way. And we got nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer until I looked and I cried, look out! And I could see she was gone. I think she was meditating on the message I gave that night. And then crash! And she had a broken leg, broken arm, and I had a gash in my head. You've got a lot of blood up there, and my white shirt was like a Salvation Army jersey. Just as red as that. We were both taken to the hospital, and after the doctor staunched the blood that was flowing from me, he left me there for a couple of hours to get over the shock, I suppose. I was in shock, maybe. But I remember having a manifestation of the Lord having come to me, the Lord coming to me in that hour. As oftentimes in those tremendous experiences we had in China, if you read my little book, Pilgrim, tremendous experiences in China, and always in these great experiences, there's a manifestation of the Lord that makes him so infinitely precious and draws out the heart in love toward him. Oh, I could look up into his face and say, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Great manifestations of the Lord in these times of trial. And also, he says, when thou passest through the valley, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the waters they shall not overflow thee, you remember? But also, you get not only special manifestations of the Lord when you're in the valley of Baca, but also you get frequent visits from the Lord. More frequent visits. I know there's a sense in which he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But there is such a thing as sensible visitations when we become sensible of his presence in a very real way. And you get more frequent visits, like a sick child. Mother will always be coming and going. If a child is sick in a room, mother will be in and out very frequently. So the Lord with his people. So the Lord with his people. And how precious those times are. How great is his goodness, said David. Speaking of the benefits, how great is the sum of them. Oh, you know, when you are sick in hospital, I was in surgery about 7 weeks ago. And it's wonderful how friends come and visit. And they leave behind a flower or something else, little gift. I think the Lord does that kind of thing, you know. I think when we're in the valley of Baca, I think he often visits us. And he never visits without leaving something behind, something precious. And also, I think, not only is visitation, but I think a special comfort in the valley. A special comfort. And as I said the other night, there's a better telegraph system, telephone system in your body than the Bell or ATT or whatever. That if you get a hurt in the farthest away member, immediately the head knows, and the head knows what instrument to use, what member to use to bring comfort to that hurt place. I think we get not only special manifestations and frequent visits, but I think we get special comfort from the Lord. And lastly, I think we get perhaps better vision of the truth of God. Where I come from, Vancouver, British Columbia, we are right on the beautiful city. We're on the coast, on the ocean, on the coast. Great inlet comes in from the sea, and the big ships come out up the inlet to take grain to different parts of the prairie, grains to different parts of the world. And beyond the inlet, then there are mountains. You know, from our place, we can look over the inlet and see those mountains. A day like this, you wouldn't see very much. You'd see the mountains, but there would be a thick haze over them, not very clear. Couldn't make anything out, except the dim outline of the mountain. But when it rains, and when there's moisture in the atmosphere, you can see almost every bridle pass on those mountains. Everything is clearer. Everything is clearer when there's moisture in the atmosphere. And I think when our eyes are full of tears, and we pass through the valley of sorrow and the valley of weeping, I think we have better spiritual perceptions and better spiritual vision. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, dig a well. The rain also filleth the pools. God fills the well. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we give thee thanks for this hour. We thank thee for these few days together. We bless thee, our Father, for what thou hast given to us and what thou hast shared with us. We thank thee, our Father, for the journey of life, for the discipline of life. We bless thee that thou art sovereign controller of all events, sovereign and supreme over all the circumstance of life. And we thank thee, Lord, that we are dear to thee, very valuable to thee, because we are dearly bought with the blood of thy beloved Son. And thou dost send us these strange providences, not to harm us, but for our spiritual benefit, that our hearts may be weaned away from this world, and they may be weaned toward thyself. We withdraw from much that is in the world, and draw and be drawn into the embrace of thy dear love. We thank thee, Lord, because thou dost so dearly, dearly love us. And we pray thee, Lord, that we might bear with patience the pressures of life, knowing that they are but for a short time, knowing that these strange experiences are just for a wee while, just for a little while, and light afflictions compared to the glory which has yet to be revealed, and only for a moment compared to the ages of eternity. So help us to be patient, Father, we beseech of thee, and help us to glean from these experiences spiritual benefit. that somehow through them our hearts may be enlarged, the measure of Christ be increased within us, and that we more and more appreciate our inheritance in heaven, that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. Thou hast already entered, blessed Lord Jesus, and laid claim to it in our name. And thou dost guard our inheritance. None else can claim it. None other can claim it. It is ours, and ours forever. So, Lord, during this earthly pilgrimage, we pray that thou wilt make us patient, and grant, Lord, that we may squeeze the benefit out of all our trials. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen.